Good morning, Grace Church, and hello to everyone joining in across the reaches of the internet in various times or places. Wherever you find this message, welcome. My name is John Peters. For those who've gathered with us on Sunday mornings in the past, you might recognize me, or perhaps maybe not, seeing as I'm growing my hair during lockdown, or at least until my wife shaves off in my sleep. But regardless of situational circumstances, it's so good to have you here with me this morning as we continue our series, When You Pray, where we've been going through the Lord's Prayer together, seeking to grow in our understanding of how we are called to pray as followers of Jesus. So as we jump in, let me just pray now and ask God to speak to us. Let's pray. Dear loving and heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for the power of your word. And we just pray you be with us. Would you speak to us? Would you give us ears to listen? And would you give me the right words to say and communicate? Lord, we love you and we pray that you would grow closer to you in relationship and our understanding of you this morning. Amen. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This passage from Matthew's account of Jesus' life comes from chapter 6, and our focus today is going to be just on verse 10. That is, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, in Luke's account of the Lord's Prayer, this phrase has simply just been boiled down to just three words. Your kingdom come. So let's look at each one of these and expand upon them as we look at this whole verse together. So firstly, kingdom. Now, it might seem a little bit strange that in preparing for this message, someone who's been a Christian a while, for quite a long while, I had to stop and ask myself, Wait. What actually is the kingdom? What is it? What's the definition of it? And when Jesus talks about and uses the phrase kingdom of God, what's he getting on about? It's so easy to pick up jargon and language without actually being clear on it. So let's start with a simple one as we dig deeper into this. And here we go. So God's kingdom can be defined as simply wherever Jesus reigns as king. Or to quote Glenn Scrivener, wherever Jesus reigns as Lord, there is the kingdom. That's Jesus, God himself, the creator of all things, who entered into our world, who died on the cross, who was buried and raised again to new life. This Jesus, who now sits enthroned in heaven, he is the king of the kingdom. So now we get a clear understanding from this text, as well as other parts of the Bible, that this kingdom of his is both now and also not yet. We live in what you could call the overlap of the ages, to steal a phrase. See, this is the time between, we live in the time between Jesus' death and resurrection and his return, between the establishment and the fulfillment, if you will, of his kingdom. For when Jesus died on the cross and was raised again to life, God established his rule and reign over sin and death. And he also made it possible for us to enter into his kingdom by accepting him as our king, as our Lord. And that's how we enter into his kingdom, into relationship with God our Father, as his servants and children. See, the resurrection was a mighty fanfare proclaiming the here and now of God's kingdom. And we await that second trumpet call marking Jesus' return and the fulfillment of it. And so our hope as followers of Jesus is not that we will one day escape this world and enter in some fluffy, golden, eternal, heavenly realm of God's kingdom. No. Our hope is that our King Jesus is going to return, bringing his throne, his dwelling place, his heavenly realm down to earth with the renewal of all things and the full establishment of his kingdom all over the earth. Sorry, I couldn't resist. But you see, we live in the echo call of that first trumpet call. God's kingdom is here now in his people, the church, but it's also not yet. And so we pray, your kingdom come. We recognize Jesus' work in establishing his kingdom, and we ask for God to bring its coming more and more into our here and now. And notice that the kingdom is not something that we impose or force about. It's God's doing. He's bringing it down to us. See, we anticipate it. We ask for it and we receive it. And amazingly, we don't have to wait for Jesus' return in order to see and experience God's kingdom in our world. For God's kingdom is both seen and revealed in those moments where his reign is demonstrated and lived out in our lives, in acts of love, grace and forgiveness, with miracles and healing, in us caring for the environment, seeking justice for the poor, bringing equality between people and living in peace with everyone. So we do see, and we should expect to see more of these amazing things, most clearly and actively in the church, that is the living body of Jesus. For wherever Jesus reigns as Lord, there is the kingdom. Now, my list there, it's not exhaustive. There are so many dimensions and outworkings of God's kingdom that cover every aspect of our life and the whole created world. But let's just pick a few. So how about these values? Equality and unity, justice for the poor, care for the environment, healing of the sick. Do they sound familiar in any other context of recent times? All right, how about we look at them through the lens of these slogans then? Climate justice now. Black lives matter. Save our NHS. Free Hong Kong. Now, I doubt anyone watching or listening will not have heard at least one of those slogans. See, in our Western post-Christian culture, it's so easy to forget the underlying desires and motivations to all those big social movements that we see around us today. They all stem from the principles of God's kingdom and Jesus' teaching about it. A desire to care for the environment, that the unity and equality between all tribes and nations, to the desire to see the eradication of all sickness and disease, and even to see freedom from oppressive regimes. These are all from Jesus' teachings. As a post-Christian culture, that is society, has removed God and Christian way of life from our framework, but we're still operating on the foundations of biblical truth and justice. To quote Mark Sayers, our post-Christian society is set on building the kingdom without the king. But we can't have a kingdom without the king, because it's only in and through Jesus living and acting in our hearts that we can live out any of his kingdom principles. See, we need the work of the Holy Spirit, that is God himself living and working in us, to live out and see these values brought into being. It's like the fanfare trumpet. It's impossible to play this without any breath, without any air. We need the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, to fill our lives in order to live out them as citizens of God's kingdom. Without Jesus, just doesn't work. So now, in recognizing Jesus as Lord, as our King, we are submitting ourselves, our own rule and our autonomy to him, praying, your will be done on earth, in Cornwall, in Truro, in my life, in my marriage, in my job, in my house, in my bank account, over all areas. See, it's not our kingdom, it's God's. We pray, your kingdom come. Not my will, Lord, but yours. Our walk of faith, our relationship with Jesus, is a process of growing more and more into his likeness. So even if you already are a follower of Jesus, like me, our daily call still needs to be, Lord Jesus, please bring more of your kingdom into my life. as we submit more and more areas, and ultimately all areas and everything, to Him. So to recap our words then, so we pray, Your kingdom come. It's not my rule or reign. We submit ourselves under Jesus' rule. We pray, Your kingdom come. Jesus is King. He has established and will complete the fulfillment of His kingdom on earth. And we're invited into it. We pray, Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We ask Jesus, who is seated in heaven, for more of His heavenly rule to come down to earth, anticipating the time when He Himself will come down to bring it in full. So, knowing all of this, how does this help us to pray? Well, there is immense strength and comfort in praying, Your kingdom come. Let me explain. When we're overwhelmed about the news in the media that we hear in the world about the darkness and brokenness of our world, of war, abuse, famine, disease, greed, the savage destruction of our natural world, the cleansing of ethnic minority groups, the genocide of ethnic minority groups in China and other places, we're left not knowing how to pray. It can feel impossible knowing what to say or how to say it, or even feeling, how on earth could my words or my thoughts or actions have any positive outcome to our collective world's darkness? But God says prayer is powerful and effective. And I know that I can come to God, my loving Heavenly Father, and refresh myself in the truth that I am a child of His kingdom, and that He is establishing His kingdom on earth. See, I know the end. We know the end game. That even though God's kingdom has not yet fully come, He is still the one right now who holds all things together. He still has sovereign reign and authority over everything. We know the end. We know that earth is not going to be a scarred and stripped barren wasteland that humanity forsakes to go live on Mars. No. Now, as we read in the last book of the Bible, we see that the earth will be renewed in glorious beauty. For Jesus will bring His kingly rule to us in full. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. And every nation, every tribe will bow before Jesus, the King. That's where we're heading. And we have the privilege to be part of God's transforming kingdom right now. Us, His body, His church. We taste and see glimpses of God's kingdom. And we have the mandate to pray for more. To make war against all the darkness and brokenness around us by prayer in Jesus' name. We step out in faith, proclaiming the coming of our King. A King whose reign we can also enjoy right now. Now, perhaps you never have accepted Jesus as your King or recognized that there are areas of your life where He is not currently reigning as Lord. Well, to encourage you, I want to share these amazing words we find in the Bible, in Paul's letter to the Colossians. He writes, "The Father has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His people in the kingdom of light, for He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." See, in Jesus, God has redeemed. He has rescued us, forgiving all our sins, bringing us out of darkness and into His kingdom of light. So whether you are a follower of Jesus or not, this is the truth of the cross, the good news of God's kingdom. God the Father, through Jesus, His Son, has established His kingdom, and He qualifies us, He qualifies me, He qualifies you to step into a life free of sin and death and the loving eternal relationship of God the Father. So I want to pray for you now, today, if you feel that today, that right now you need to take a step to accept the kingship of Jesus into your life or into another area of your life. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before You and ask You in this moment, would You bring Your kingly reign in our lives. Lord, we recognize that we have been living life with ourselves at the center, on the throne of our hearts. And Lord, we want to pray that you would bring your kingdom of light and love into our hearts. Lord, would you renew us and bring about more and more of your kingdom into our hearts as we stand and declare that you are king over all. You are king over my life and over every area of it. Lord Jesus, I come to you and ask, would you fill me, Lord, with your presence and be with me now. In your name, amen. Now, if that's the first or even the 100th time of you responding in prayer, we'd love to be able to continue encouraging you and praying with you. So please do get in touch with us. You can find details about who we are and how to find us at gracetruro.org, our website, or on our Facebook group. Please get in contact. We'd love to pray with you. So if, in conclusion then, if all you remember from this morning is the trumpet, then I really want it to remind you that just as a herald proclaims the coming of a king, sounding a call for all to hear, we too, the church, proclaim Jesus as Lord of our lives, the coming king who binds up the brokenhearted and sets the captives free. This is a king like no other, one whose kingdom will never end. He is our hope, our joy, our life, and as his subjects, we too proclaim the good news of his kingdom, praying for it to come more and more and more into our world, into ourselves, and into those around us as well. So as we finish our time together now, join me, and let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. God bless. Take care.